Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 4th of March, recording at 9:23 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes, but first we start, as usual, with a quick review of the week. The Middle East was once again the focal point of attention, by far, and we could say specifically the eye was on Libya, to a lesser extent Bahrain, and also Saudi Arabia. The latter because it is or shares borders with countries that are experiencing a fair amount of unrest, and especially because it is by far the world's largest provider of or has by far the world's largest reserves of crude oil, I should say. Now, how did this affect the markets? We had mostly ranging activity. Asian stock markets were a little firmer on the week. European stock markets mostly range-bound to easing a little bit. And some choppy action in the U.S. Stock market, but a loss of momentum. I would describe it as a loss of upward momentum near the highs, and that's continued for a second week here. Long-dated government bond prices, they mostly weakened, but were firmer here today, many of them at any rate. The U.S. dollar has been soft generally. The precious metals had a shakeout yesterday. They had rallied a big shakeout yesterday, but were firmer in here today, with silver hitting a new high for this move. The grain and bean complex generally a bit steadier after a shakeout over Middle East concerns a few days ago. Industrial metals mostly quietly steady. Having mentioned the grains, I should mention other agricultural commodities. Meat contracts firm, cotton extremely firm. So quite a bit of upward pressure on some of these commodities still. And last but not least, crude oil. And this is strong here. We had a pause, we had a little shakeout, and then prices have been up in the last 2 days. Crude NYMEX is trading just below 105 as I speak. It's at 104.80, but that's up nearly $3 today. And Brent is trading around 116. Okay, what's going on here overall? Well, in terms of the overall environment, there's a fair amount of uncertainty given the Middle Eastern situation, and that has checked most of the upward trends that were taking place in stock markets. Now, that said, there were three markets that hit new highs here today. Russia, which did so yesterday. The Toronto Composite Index for Canada, that has hit another new high, I think also in the last couple of days. And Poland squeaked out a new high today, but probably closed off that in the later trading. Now, I think this is important because two of those markets are, of course, major resources producers. Russia almost entirely as a supplier of energy and plus some metals. Canada, as a major supplier of industrial resources. So again, Fuller Money themes, these, and that's where the strength, the sectors, that is, that's where the strength actually lies. And Poland, well, its economy is doing well, and it's also sitting, I don't think this is a factor in the new high here today, but it is sitting on Europe's largest supply of shale gas reserves, although they have yet to be tapped. But that will be a major income source for Poland over the longer term, and investors appreciate that point because energy and energy security and energy independence is very much in people's minds. All right, now the Asian stock markets have been a bit steadier, whereas previously, you had the shift in momentum occurring around November, when the Asian markets and the South American resources markets, which had performed quite well, particularly the smaller South American ones, and particularly India and the ASEAN Asian stock markets, they had raced way ahead, were very overextended relative to their rising 200-day moving averages, which represent trend means. And the Western markets, well, particularly Wall Street and the European bourses, had been lagging behind. And we got then a fashion change and saw mean reversion corrections within Asia, and we saw outstanding relative performance. Wall Street led, but with Europe doing pretty well also, not least Germany on its strong fundamental underpinnings. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if we get further ranging in here over the short term, because again, oil will remain a major concern. But I suspect that when stock markets gain or regain traction to the upside, that the Asian and resources providers will be to the forefront, having completed their mean reversion, whereas, and this process usually takes, depending on how overextended they happen to be, but usually takes at least 2 or 3 months. And I wouldn't be surprised if Wall Street, where everyone who shows up on television has been bragging about their U.S. stock market portfolio, it's almost as if Asia has been forgotten. But I think the pendulum is going to swing back in the other direction, because the U.S. market has had a very good run. Asia is no longer overvalued relative to the West, because those Asian valuations have come down as they've gone up in the West. So I think the traditional leaders will take up the running here overall. But that assumes that we don't have a major oil shock. Now, oil is at an uncomfortably high level here today. It's not at a ruinous, let alone panic level, but we don't have any clear evidence that this move to the upside is over. So this is going to remain an important concern, and oil really is a game changer, because if we were to get crude oil up in the $140-$150 range this year, that would be a very major blow to confidence and a very major headwind, and I think that would tip a number of Western economies back into recession. It would slow growth elsewhere. It would be bad for stock markets. Will that happen? Well, trouble is, if it does, it's going to be due to unrest and fear over supplies. It's not due to increased demand. Demand is fairly constant, but it has been edging up a wee bit globally overall, but not enough to justify these moves, which are mainly speculative. Will we have some measures coming out from the CFTC, the Commodities Futures Trading Commission, and other regulatory bodies around the globe to curb tracker fund participation, for instance, in these markets? Quite possibly. And I would favor that, as I said back in 2008, when we had that major hike. Now, of course, this rise that we have seen in crude oil is mainly due to speculation, including on the part of producers and consumers, who are equally concerned, or especially concerned about supplies from the Middle East. But the problem is that the economic impact is not speculative, it's real. And it's a blow to consumer sentiment. It is a concern, certainly, for corporations, and it's a powerful headwind. So if you want a bull hypothesis for the second half of the year, here it is. Oil prices fall back under $90 for NYMEX crude. And under $100 for Brent crude, and early signs of reasonable harvests or reasonable crop prospects, I should say, it wouldn't be harvest, but early signs of reasonable crop prospects in Europe, China, and the USA, Canada, and that would cause the grain prices also to fall back, and again, perhaps some CFTC action there, so that the commodity price inflation becomes less of a concern. Against that background, I think we would see stock markets perform in a very attractive fashion. Now, this last point on this oil business. We have the plunges that have occurred in the Middle Eastern stock markets. Now, that's a concern. I think it's also an opportunity. Again, we don't have a crystal ball here, so we don't know exactly how this will play out. But you know the old adage about buy when there's blood in the streets, and there is some blood in the streets. I would buy cautiously, because it's catch a falling knife territory overall. But so that favorable scenario, again, we get crude oil coming back down. It won't go down a whole long way, but just coming back down to levels where it's less of a concern. Ditto the agricultural commodities. That would be very good news indeed. For global stock markets. And I think Fuller Money Themes would certainly be among the leaders, as has so often been the case. And I think technology would do well also. Owen has another of his interesting reviews on cloud computing. The technology index, again, is susceptible to mean reversion here over the next few weeks. And that would create an additional buying opportunity. Okay, what about the long-dated government bonds? Well, I maintain that the bull market, in terms of falling yields, the 28-year bull market is over, and that ended in 2008. And depending on which market you look at, or early 2009. And that the bottoming out and base building phase for those yields, which marks the transition from the dying bull market to the new bear market, and because I'm using that term, think of it also in terms of bond prices. Bond prices had been coming, bond futures prices are are going to weaken in here as yields push higher. So I'm expecting a long bear market in long-dated government bonds. I don't like any bonds, really, because I think interest rates will gradually push up. There's too much supply in terms of bonds. There's too much government debt, certainly in the West. There's been too much money printing overall. That is an inflationary problem. Don't just take my word for it. Read what Warren Buffett said in his comments that I posted posted yesterday. So I want to play this long equities and short bonds. The bonds will be winging around and ranging and so on. So, and because if you short bonds, you are the yield is working against you. One has to time it reasonably well. But in terms of my futures trades, it will be I'll try to keep the discipline going where I sell on the rallies and bond futures and cover on the setbacks. But I expect to be doing this for years. And the only time when I think we'll get a really major rally, but not to go back and to see yields test their lows, but if we get a multi-month pause in the developing bear market for long-dated government bonds, it will be as a consequence of the next recession, whenever that occurs. That could occur quickly if the oil price were to spike significantly. Again, we need to keep our fingers crossed, but we could just get away. I think that's probably an outside chance here. We're more likely to see a cessation of events in the Middle East. But nobody knows. This is kind of unprecedented. We haven't been here before. But oil is everything. Let's leave it there. Now, what about these commodities? Good action in here by precious metals. Gold is at 1431 as I speak. That's up $15, not quite offsetting the selling pressure that we saw yesterday, but equally, we haven't seen it flop above 1400 as it happened during the fourth quarter of last year. Silver's new high up at 35.57 is a positive lead here overall. And platinum steady, palladium quite quiet. These uptrends can extend here over the next few weeks. Then I think it becomes a little bit more tricky as we get into less favorable seasonal factors. But right now, I'm happy to play some of the futures for additional upside gains. I'm doing that with a reasonable weighting in gold and a light weighting in platinum, and unfortunately, I sold my silver too soon a while back. And I'm not going to chase it at these levels. But if you have it, it's performing beautifully. You might want to have a trailing stop or manage it a little bit if it runs ahead too quickly. But you'll know what to do. If you're smart enough to still hold it, you'll know how to play it. But don't become complacent. That's all I would say. The higher a market goes, the closer it gets to its eventual peak. But this is still very much a secular bull market in precious metals. The foods is a tricky one. Again, it all depends on what happens with the next crop cycles. But I think we're going to probably see some rationing, not least with corn. Rice is the least affected in terms of supply shortages, but there are no grounds for complacency there, and because people can't get other foods, they'll consume more rice. And it obviously takes time for the next crop cycle to be completed. We have not had a disaster with the South American crops, but those ones through Europe and the China and the U.S. will be absolutely crucial, and we're really we're not yet at the sowing season here, so it is going to take time to replenish those global stocks. And if a combination of volcanic activity and La Nina caused the sort of havoc that we saw in 2010, then we're going to be in trouble in terms of food prices. So, again, commodities. If you're a regular listener to these broadcasts, how many times have you heard me say, going back into the at least the second quarter of last year, that commodities were a big opportunity, but they would eventually come the big problem. And as I've said before, the problem has arrived, and it's complicated the outlook for stock markets and global growth. All right, what else to mention here? In terms of currencies, the dollar's becoming a little bit uncomfortably soft, at least uncomfortable for me. And I wouldn't be surprised if Mr. Bernanke didn't start to change his tune regarding interest rates. Yes, the Fed and the Treasury, the White House, will be very happy to have a soft dollar, especially as they haven't been seeing inflationary pressures. That's because they're not looking in the right areas. But we all know what has occurred in terms of foods, and that's certainly for real. We all know what's happened to the price of crude oil. So this is real. It's not something. These are not nails that can be really effectively hit with monetary policy, or I'll put it this way, that's a crude instrument to deal with these problems. But it does, central banks do feel pressured to do something, and that do something when they see the inflationary pressures is to raise rates. Now, we're not at a stage in the rate hiking cycle where I think that it will be a major problem. The commodities are a major problem today. For the most part, we have interest rates that are below the rate of inflation. So we have negative interest rates. That's a positive stimulus for stock markets if they don't have to panic over commodities, if investors don't have to panic over the strength of commodities. I think it's a negative environment for bonds, as I've already said. Now, this dollar, you may feel in markets that when one lurches from one crisis to another, well, there are fewer crises than the system's credited for. The Middle East situation, the food situation, that is a crisis. Potentially crude oil is a crisis. So we've got three of them here right at this moment. Hopefully they don't become major blow-ups, but we always need to be thinking ahead. You know, what could go wrong, especially as this is an environment that I think is still attractive for equity markets, particularly in the second half of the year. If we get the setbacks in crude oil and food prices, that would be very attractive, I think, for equity markets. But on the, you know, what could go wrong here period, I would like to, or what could go right, I'd like to see the dollar hold its ranges. And just let's have a quiet period here for currencies. That would be good. The markets would like that. If the dollar, though, which is pressing its lows or easing below its lows against a fair number of currencies, if that were to gather pace, that would create another problem. Well, a lot to talk about here, a lot to monitor in the chart libraries. But overall, bottom line, we still are in a cyclical bull market led by fuller money themes, including technology. And the negative real interest rates is a tailwind for that bull market. We're passing through this challenging sort of asteroid field of high commodity prices that needs to be negotiated. The long-dated government bonds are yields are base building prior to an uptrend, which means a bear market for long-dated government bonds. The dollar a little bit softer than I would actually like it to be in terms of stability. And on that note, have a fabulous weekend.